Our next speaker today is Ashley Mayer. So Ashley is an IT solutions architect specializing in open source. He's currently the general manager of Didymo Design. So if you hear that in New Zealand, you might have a different response to
it. Just means they don't know Greek, that's all.
He's also a session lecturer at the University of Wollongong. Ashley's going to talk to us today about teaching software engineering using open source. Please welcome Ashley.
Thank you. A couple of things. One, is that working? Excellent. Two, I emailed Tabitha the updated version. I've got the old one here, so this is going to be exciting. And three, Tabitha's also promised me to give me regular time updates. If my timing's screwed, I'm blaming Tabitha. So I've got a way out already. I like that. So skipping through these. In 15 to 20 minutes, I don't have the time for questions. I love interactive presentations, but really today I just don't have the time. Anyone who wants to catch up with me later, I love my beer really cold, okay? So, yes, sorry, corporate type style presentation. I like it. I'm comfortable with it. So that's what we're going to cover. Just a quick background, how the hell I got in that position. What is software engineering? Because I know some of the faces in here that are seriously good software engineers, and this is scary. Other people may not know what the hell a term is, so I'm starting at that basis and working up to go through today. So, I'm not an academic. Some of my close friends are academics. The situation that occurred was an academic resigned and a new appointee was offered a position. That appointee could not take up that position until November. Spring session was about to start, so my appointment was 3 weeks before the beginning of session. ITS stuffed up my email system, which meant I couldn't access anything until 10 days before session started. So literally, I was sort of catching up the entire way through the course trying to present this thing. Although I've got to say I did enjoy it. And a quick comment about the students I had, and I need to specify this because I'm going to make some claims later, and I'm also going to qualify them. The University of Wollongong has a fantastic gaming program. In fact, the university entered two teams in the national gaming competition. One team won the national gaming competition. The other team picked up the best graphics. Eight of those students were in my class of 37. So you're talking about a group of students that really do know how to hack. The field of software engineering, as we know it, effectively came into existence after a period of time where if you were part of the team that built the hardware, you were part of the team who wrote the software because, damn it, no one else knew how to put the software together for that hardware. Over a period of time, we started coming up with general languages. So during the 1960s, you started to get people who were known as programmers coming into existence. Those programmers were delivering solutions for scientists, sometimes engineers, etc., etc. One of the other things that started to happen was all of a sudden we started getting the projects that were larger. So in the defense industry, for example, you had the North American defense industry trying to coordinate all their radar systems to stop those horrible Russians. Those projects started to fail. Those projects started to fail with monotonous regularity. Those projects started to fail really spectacularly. One of the things there was, were they competent? Oh, yeah. Very. But in the human sense, where you had a single client and a single programmer, the communication channel was fairly straight. I mean, if there was a miscommunication, you'd settle it over a cup of coffee. When you've got 5, 10, 50, 100, several hundred hackers working on something, and you find out the last minute, doesn't work, a lot of people getting upset. So, somebody had this idea that engineers have been building things for a little while and they don't seem to fall down. In fact, engineers could build really big things that were wonderful, so if we could get these strange programming people to behave like engineers, the world would be absolutely incredible. Oops. Ah, bugger. It would be incredible. I mean, everybody knows that an engineer can build a complicated bridge and it won't fall down. This would be great. Except for the Como Bridge, Narrows Bridge. 4 years to build, 4 months to fall down because there was a breeze on it. It doesn't matter what area you go to, if humans are involved, you're going to have an oops. One of the things that we find is, yes, it's a good idea for us to take rigor and formality and good documentation, etc., to a field, except that programming is about creativity, the elegant solution, being really beautiful in what you deliver. And we're trying to force that together. The other thing is that, as I said, a lot of the kids that I were teaching were really, really good programmers. They know that they don't need a revision control system if there's three or four of them. Why? Because they've done it that way for years. So how do you get them to appreciate the value of one? We look at the modern definition. It says here that we're talking about a systematic, disciplined, quantifiable approach to the development, operation and maintenance of software. That is application of engineering to software. So if we have a look at the textbooks and the courses that are around now, that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to jam down these kids' throats. Any one of you that are software engineers know that that stuff is brilliant. And if you don't do it, you'll have an interesting time. But if you're a young programmer and has been mucking with this stuff for several years with friends, that's rubbish. And they'll tell you it's rubbish. Such courses are really good. Will they learn it? Yes. Why? It's in the textbook. They can take it in. At exam time, they can stick their fingers down their throat and regurgitate it on the page brilliantly. There is, however, no comment about programming in the large. It is my contention that if you're trying to teach somebody something and they have to learn it, there's a great deal of difficulty in that. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how experienced you are, if you're trying to learn something, there is work required. If you can put your learner in a position where something is obvious, they no longer have to work hard to learn. It's automatic. You take it on. So if we're trying to get those concepts into somebody's head, it makes it a lot easier if I can put the student in the same place as the individuals were in the 1960s. So instead of trying to teach something, they go, "Whoa, that's obvious." So I put together a project. It was based around open source, of which I've got to skip through this, Tabitha just told me. Drupal was one, and Open Bravo was another. So very, very quickly, one of the first things was, this was not a programming project. It was a tool to teach them software engineering. That was important. The last thing was, morally, I couldn't jam FOSTA in their throats. They're learning software engineering. One of my students wants to work for Microsoft. That's his dream job. He loved the project. So we're getting someone that has learned a lot and still wants to work for Microsoft. That's fine. The next thing is lecture discussions, because one of the things that I found was, there's a problem, there's a solution, go away. I said, you do that to me, you'll fail. Because one of the things that software engineering is behaving as a real engineer is, if you can get components together, like building a car, you get your engine from one area of the production line, the gearbox from another, put it together to a product, that's how real engineers do it, because everything's well tested and delivered. If we're using open source software and you're going to use a module from somewhere, tell me why. If you're going to reject a module, tell me why you rejected it. That documentation is the marks I'm going to give you. If you deliver something that works and there's no documentation, in other words, you're not telling me why you did or did not do something, I'll fail you. That was a mind shift. Now, one of the things in there was that we're trying to teach modularity, evolvability, etc. in here. Drupal has a requirement for code quality, and it has the fact that it defines white space. Question in lecture was, what are the worry about white space? My response, 5,000 hackers, one bucket of code. Oh, that's obvious. Yeah, there's a phrase that I used to use called bucket of spaghetti. They used to use it eventually. They began to appreciate that if you didn't spell out clearly how the code was going to be set out, you'd end up with a bucket of spaghetti. The other thing is, Drupal sets out object-orientated. It's not. So their textbooks are saying you've got to do object-oriented. If it's not, it's bad. When they use Drupal, all of a sudden hit the real world. Grey. They respect our object-oriented. They started in PHP 4. The kids were getting experience in something called legacy code. Oh, dear. That's not something they're going to come across from the real world, is it? So Tavis is giving me a quick wind-up. They filled up evaluations, of which evaluations I think are really important. Would you run it the same way? 24 attended the final lecture. 22 said yes, one probably, and one no. The comments that they made was, it was great, programming's not just all. It's clear to understand software engineering because what they were doing was obvious. If they were going to do something, one of the things that I thought was interesting was that some of the mindsets in revision control, etc., when they started, they wouldn't use the tool. Then later, when I said, well, you've got 5,000, do you have a choice? No. Okay, 1,000. No, you still got to do it. 100? No, you've got to do it. Would you use revision control, automatic unit testing, automatic testing, etc., if there's five of you? And the comment was, yeah, it'd make your life easier, wouldn't it? So by changing their mindset from large to small, they were understanding the value of doing things properly, especially from evolvability. And a couple of you I've met beforehand, I promised some comments. Sorry I've skipped over it, because the lecture discussions as a whole was one of the most beautiful, fulfilling times that I had during the whole time, and it was really gratifying. And sorry that I've rushed through this, and I hope I haven't bored you all. But what does it prove? Nothing. As I said, I started late. I put this together on the fly. I believe I stumbled across something of value in the teaching of software engineering because the students seemed to be able to grasp the concept so much more easily when they were looking at it from, if we were controlling this with so many people, we'd have to do it. Modularity, evolvability, all those kinds of issues are on the wikis, etc. They were dealing with real-world examples, and because it was all the complexities, they were really understanding it wasn't just some black and white thing being jammed at them. I believe that we have a part to play. If you're involved in a project, why not put up a page and just sort of say, hey, look, if you're teaching software engineering, maybe you could use our project as part of your course. Open Bravo does. And one of the last things was, I said six teams attempted it. All the mark, all except for a couple of marks, was in the documentation. I said, if you don't actually get something committed to the project, then it's going to cost you a few marks. I want to see you actually understand this stuff, not just deliver something. Any team management project did deliver. It's on the Drupal website. It's an installation profile. So one of the other nice things was that team felt really good that somebody would download it and actually muck with it. So if any of you are working in a school and you need something to manage a team, please download it, because there's a bunch of kids out there that would be really excited to see some download counts on their project. So thank you.
Since I rushed Ashley, does anyone have any questions for Ashley?
I bored everyone. No snoring.
Okay, well, thank you, Ashley.